Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. We live in a time where there is no shortage of controversial and upsetting topics. Whether it be a global pandemic shifting our lives drastically, or Mother Nature ravaging the southern states with multiple hurricanes in quick succession, it seems like 2020 is not going to get any better anytime soon. Something that I think has been lost since the unrest in the country began is the never-ending amounts of cold cases that remain unsolved. This number only continues to rise and likely will not stop anytime soon at this rate. Today, I wanted to talk about the disturbingly tragic, unsolved disappearance of Andrea Parsons, in hopes that we may be able to help further this case and find Andrea's remains. Whether it be one of you directly knowing something, or even just you sharing this video online with your friends and family, it all helps in putting more eyes on these otherwise unknown cases. I know many people doubt the power of these videos, but just recently, two cases featured on this channel exclusively have been solved. The internet holds the power of reaching millions upon millions of people across the globe. We should never understate that. I do want to mention that this case does have two suspects, and one of them has even been convicted for the crime. But the mystery of what truly happened to Andrea and where her remains are continue to be a mystery. Justice was not served, and Andrea's story has not been properly told. Anyways, let's jump right into this truly tragic case that desperately deserves more attention. As a through-and-through Floridian, I can honestly say Florida is a rather odd state when it comes down to how towns, cities, etc. are designated and ran. Port Salerno is one of those weird places in the state that isn't technically a town or a city, but rather is simply known as a census-designated place, which a quick, dumbed-down explanation would essentially be that these are areas of population solely used for statistical purposes to see how they compare against incorporated cities and such. Port Salerno is a decently populated area with just over 10,000 residents as of 2010. If anyone is old enough to remember the film Gentle Giant from 1967, you may recognize some of the scenery as this movie was partially filmed in Port Salerno. The area is also very popular for its world fishing tournaments and its manatee resort that has been featured on many popular television talk shows. With all that said and done, we should have a somewhat better understanding of the area. Now, we need to jump to the year 1993 on the southeast end of 4800 block in Port Salerno. 10-year-old Andrea Gail Parsons had asked her mother's boyfriend if she could walk to a friend's house a few streets over on Flounder Avenue. She planned on meeting with her friend and walking to the Port Salerno grocery store on Salerno Road. She was granted permission and set off on her walk towards the store shortly after. Two different witnesses claimed to have seen Andrea walking towards the store, roughly two blocks or so from her home. An employee at the store told the police that she had seen her and that she had purchased some potato chips and candy. She had apparently paid in change and left, assumably towards home or said friend's house. Apparently, Andrea was walking and some people she knew drove past her and she waved towards them. These people would later be confirmed as a co-worker of Andrea's mother. Some speculate she may have been collecting empty cans around the Commerce Avenue and Seaward Avenue area at the time. Many kids today have the luxury of earning money through chores, allowances, and even via the internet. But back in the days before the world was online, collecting cans and medals were a solid way for kids to be able to make a few bucks. this would be around the time she would be last sighted. Andrea's friend said she never arrived at her house, and sadly, Andrea was quite frankly never seen or heard from again. It was as if she simply vanished. Andrea's mother, Linda Parsons, returned home from work sometime around 10:10 p.m. and rather quickly realized her daughter was not home. Linda searched the neighborhood, questioning everyone she could about the whereabouts of Andrea. The neighborhood they currently lived in wasn't the safest of areas to live in. It was notorious for drug trafficking and who knows what else. Earlier that day, Andrea's mother said she had dropped her off at the B&A flea market located on US 1. There, she would help family friend, Sherry Tate, carry boxes around. Tate, at the time, ran a small business selling jewelry and various household items. Tate would say she was close to Andrea and that she was always a big help at the booth. Andrea was described as being happy and content that day. She did not seem distressed or out of the ordinary at all, according to those who saw her. Sometime around 2:40 p.m., Andrea was picked up from the market by her mother, Linda. They would go home, carve a watermelon in the backyard, and then Andrea would take a short nap while her mother got ready for her night shift at the local Winn-Dixie. Which, for those of you who are not familiar, Winn-Dixie is a grocery store based in Florida that operates throughout the southern states. Linda would leave for work and kiss Andrea goodbye, leaving her home with her boyfriend, Pat Daniels, who was watching television at the time. According to Pat, Andrea would go out to rollerblade with her friend and nearby neighbor, Latonia Jones. But this skate session would be cut short after Latonia's mother told her that she needed to come inside because it was far too hot to play for so long. So Andrea would return home and ask Pat at around 5:30 p.m. if she could go out to the store and then her friend's house. Andrea was said to have stopped at Latonia's house again to see if she could join her for a walk, but her mother said no. Andrea Parsons would be reported as missing at 11 p.m. that night by her mother. After searching the area with no luck, Port Salerno police and many locals immediately suspected convicted child offender Claude Davis, who had been convicted of an unrelated case similar to this one. The reason why people suspected Claude Davis was because of how he oddly approached the police and told them that he had seen Andrea being forced into a maroon-colored car. He said this car was either from the 70s or 80s, and it was an Oldsmobile. Apparently, there were 4 or 5 Hispanic-looking men. Davis would detail that a 200-pound man got out of the back seat of the car and grabbed Andrea forcefully and drug her towards the car. He said the car looked old and beaten down. They apparently stopped along a wooded lot and was estimated to be no more than 25 yards from her home. Apparently, Andrea never screamed or struggled with these assailants. This tip, though, was kept silent for over a week before police finally announced they may be looking for this group of men. Now, police did of course question and look into Linda Parsons and her boyfriend, Pat Daniels. Daniels was considered a suspect at first, and his car was searched for any sign of Andrea. Daniels would recall in the years since that the police tried to get a reaction out of him by being extra tough on him. He said they threatened to have the state take away his daughter, Nikki, from him during all of this. At the time, he was an unemployed construction worker and had run into a few issues before Andrea went missing. Daniels spent some time in prison for an auto theft back in 1991 in Nebraska. By 1993, though, Daniels had been on his way to fixing his life and taking care of his daughter. By all accounts, he treated Andrea like his own daughter as well, and she was often heard referring to Daniels as Daddy. This may have been a bit more concerning if it weren't for what Claude Davis would say at a later date. Claude said he had a dream where he saw that Andrea had died after an accidental fall on the night she vanished. He would claim he panicked and threw her body in a dumpster at Phipps Park. He didn't report this alleged event until November of 1993, though, some 4 months after Andrea went missing. The most interesting part of this, though, is that investigators took this alleged dream as a fact. Another seemingly small but interesting fact is that Claude Davis actually lived across the street from Andrea Parsons at the time. The police would arrest Davis for these accusations on the charge of false imprisonment. The charges were shortly dropped thereafter due to a lack of evidence tying Davis to the crime. We have seen this happen in multiple cases in recent videos of mine. Someone confessing to something but having no evidence behind it. I know a lot of people in the comments mentioned last time that certain cases were quote-unquote obvious and had no mystery. Well, dare I say I disagree. Regardless of how obvious something may seem, it is never as black and white as that. Unfortunately, we have to follow a system, and that system is blind to the obvious. It requires facts and evidence. Even if someone says they did something, if the facts don't match, then it's not that obvious and shouldn't be regarded as such. Anyway, getting back on track here, Davis would go on to claim he had nothing to do with Andrea's disappearance, and claims his first story was the truth. One asked to take a polygraph test, he refused though, but since those tests are highly inaccurate and controversial, I don't know if I can hold any fault on anyone for turning that down. When your freedom could come down to a famously inaccurate system, I'd be unwilling to participate as well. Since Davis mentioned he dumped Andrea's body in a dumpster, officials searched through the Martin County landfill in December 1993. They would also search his home and van. This would be some 5 months after Andrea had vanished without a trace. After tireless searches, nothing was ever found. No clothing, no body, nothing. With very little to go on, it seemed the hopes of finding Andrea were slim to none. More speculation would arise as Claude Davis allegedly told his neighbor he had abducted Andrea. This, of course, cannot be taken as fact, but is an interesting piece of speculation to bring up. Officials would search beyond the neighborhood area, using scent dogs to search various patches of woods and, along with drainage ponds, helicopters, infrared sensors, and even divers were brought in, but no sign of Andrea was ever found. Officials mainly focus on areas just north of the Parsons' home. This area has industrial parks, condos, and pretty long stretches of woods and fields. They searched the railroad tracks around the area, Mosquito Creek, and Manatee Pocket were also searched to no avail. It was likely that someone Andrea did not know abducted her. Once again, the same suspect would pop up in April 1994 when Claude Davis's home caught fire. More specifically, his porch was set ablaze. Davis would claim whoever was involved with Andrea's disappearance had done this to him to silence him for sharing the story he had shared. Oddly, he was actually on probation at the same time of the fire for, you guessed it, child charges. Eventually, in 1999, he was sent to prison for 9 years for violating his probation by coming into contact with his victim. The story twists even more and becomes just that much more confusing when a 42-year-old man by the name of Chester Dwayne Price was charged with the kidnapping and murder of Andrea Parsons. This was announced in November of 2012, 19 full years since Andrea had gone missing. He was located in Haleyville, Alabama, when he was arrested. Price has one hell of a rap sheet. With multiple convictions for assault, drug charges, and sex crimes, Price had allegedly been in contact with Andrea around the time of her going missing. He was also good friends with Claude Davis at the time. Oh, but there is more to this already twisted tale. Claude Davis took the stand in this case and testified that he and Price cooperated together to force Andrea into Davis's 1978 van. Andrea apparently bit Price's hand in an attempt to get away, not long after he claimed they murdered her and disposed of her body the next day. If this story were true, it wouldn't really matter that much anyway, as Davis would not face any charges for his alleged role in the disappearance of Andrea Parsons. This is because his constitutional right to a speedy trial would be violated. The state was legally obliged to either file formal charges against him within 175 days of his false imprisonment arrest in 1993, or let him go. Officials were never able to find enough evidence tying him to these cases, and they were forced to release him. Going back to my point at the beginning of this video, people confess and claim to be a part of cases that they weren't a part of all the time. For whatever reason, there's a mindset that people can play or manipulate the police and media. Whether to gain infamy, prolong their trial, or to avoid the death penalty, it seems this is a more common thing than we like to admit, honestly. Not to also mention that our judicial system is truly broken as well. If people are confessing to a crime, evidence or no evidence, we should have the power to fully look into these matters and vet these claims. In some cases, police forces do just that and weed out the fact from fiction. But it is observed far too often that this extra mile of investigation is not taken. The last thing I could really find a connection of these two men were that they claimed many times to know where Andrea's body was, but seemingly every time they pointed out an area they claimed she was at, they never found any remains. Another man would come up by the name of Billy Brewer, who was 38 years old at the time. He claimed he joined the two men the next day to search for cans. Billy said he saw a black bag with a large object inside. Despite these accusations, though, her body has never been located. In the summer of 2013, Claude Davis would die suddenly in his home at the age of 76. His death not only potentially stole the true story of what happened to Andrea Parsons, but seriously hurt the case against Chester Price, which relied heavily on the testimony of Claude Davis. Sadly, in 2014, the prosecution would give Price a plea deal and pleaded no contest to a manslaughter and kidnapping charge. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison, but will likely serve less than 9 years. A Martin County Police press statement said, "The investigation has concluded that Price abducted and killed Andrea Gail Parsons. Tragically, at this time, her body has not been recovered." Police would decline to give any further information as to what evidence they had to charge Price 19 years later after the fact. This is where the story turns into a cold case rather than justice for all. Pleading no contest literally means the defendant does not admit guilt, but acknowledges that there is a solid enough amount of evidence against him if this does end up going to trial. So basically, these two men could have done something terrible, but got away with it because the legal system is set up in such a way that it takes far too long to get anything done. The story of what truly happened to Andrea Parsons may never be known. If these two men did kidnap and murder her, why did they do so? Was it purely an act of opportunity from two sickos? Or did something else entirely happen? I do, at the end of the day, believe police had the right people in their scopes. I just feel awful at how terribly this case was handled. Andrea had only recently moved down to the Florida area from Dayton, Ohio, in 1992. She had been living with her mother, half-sister, and mother's boyfriend for less than a year in the Port Salerno area when she went missing. If you or anyone you may know has any information or tips as to who, what, or why in the case of Andrea Parsons, please submit any information you may have to Martin County Sheriff's Office at 407-220-7170. You can remain 100% anonymous. Any tips would be greatly appreciated. If you could do me a huge favor and share this story around your social media, that would be immensely helpful to this story. It would help it reach more people, and we all know it deserves that. The more people we can reach, the greater chance we have of helping further this case. I know many will doubt this, but a case from the early 60s that was only ever aired on the Swamp Dweller channel just became the world's oldest cold case ever solved with DNA testing. We can help the cause, you just have to have faith. Thank you guys so much for watching this short documentary on the truly tragic and disturbing case of Andrea Gail Parsons. If you enjoy the work I do here, please be sure to show that by hitting that like button. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it to fresh new eyes. We could use all the help we can get with that. If you have a case you know that you would like me to cover, please comment down below and share any information you could have that would help me out. You can also submit your personal scary stories or any cases you may want to suggest at swampdweller.net. If you are on the go and don't always have data or access to YouTube Premium, You can download and bring your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories with you everywhere you go. Download them now at iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and essentially anywhere else you listen to podcasts. If you want to support the channel further, you can check out my merch store. I have everything for sale from face masks, mugs, hoodies, t-shirts, and more. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the channel the way you do. I couldn't thank you guys enough. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.